Don't worry, I'm not going to give you a long list of sponsorships and things that you need to buy. Instead, I'm just going to explain. What we do is we teach baking as lifestyle medicine. This is an evidence-based approach to baking, eating, and sharing bread that improves the gut microbiome and mental health. So let's just get straight into this podcast.
Well-known flours now, such as barley flour or rye flour, for example, as being fancy and unavailable. And he was criticised for being, you know, flamboyant with his flour choice. Of course, he set the bar.
Yeah. Brilliant. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So it was in that same time that I arrived back in the UK. And I was saying, I couldn't get a job. When I explained that I went into a bakery that we used, the system was pâtée fermentée, which is the leaving the dough in the pétrine. I remember this baker just looking at me and he went, oh my God, that's so disgusting. Oh, you make your bread out of old dough. Yeah. No, we use premixes here. It's like the braggability factor of the emulsifiers and the enzymes at the premix. That was like the ultimate in bread making. And all he had to do was chuck it in and out splotted these sort of white, I saw a slogan the other day, what sliced white death, which, you know, is... It's what it is. But thank goodness that these things have really turned around. Yeah. So it's interesting, a little bit looking at this, your seeds of writing this and your journey started, well, I'm not going to pin you down to how old you are, but sort of 20, going back to 1990s, 25 years?
Yeah.
Before you wrote the books, very interesting.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to ask you after in a minute about your BBC documentaries and Sky, and a little bit more about your woodlands and your love of woodlands.
Right.
But I did say I would love to hear a little bit of your favourite bit of your book. Can you be kind enough to read us a passage?
Of course. I'd be delighted to. So just to give it a bit of context. So for the narrative vehicle in the book, as you know, but this is just for everyone else who's watching, I planted an acre of heritage grains and then harvested it and threshed it myself and had it milled in an old water wheel in West Wales. And one of the really interesting bits about it was that, you know, you get lots of advice from all of the people in the bread world who you know about planting and harvesting and really good guidance on all this. Nobody mentions threshing. So I decided to do it all kind of by hand, and nobody said that threshing would kill you because it's stultifying, dull. It's like penal work. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And I was already committed by this point, so I kind of had to keep going there. Anyway, after threshing, once I finally had threshed my acre of grain, which took weeks, literally, I got to the winnowing. And so I just wanted to read a bit about the winnowing, because that was truly a delightful part of the whole process. After the interminable toil of threshing, the joy of winnowing, the final part of the process to separate the grain from the chaff, came as a surprise. I loved almost everything about it. I loved how I got better at it quickly. I loved the way you started each round of winnowing with a mound of chaff and seed. With every toss, a heap of plant material departed, and the grain emerged in the basket like a magic eye illusion or stereogram. With the delicacy reserved for a drop shot in tennis, I lifted the flat basket or winnowing fan up and down in one movement. The contents rose lazily into the air. 100 flecks of yellow chaff momentarily formed an evanescent sculpture before swirling like a murmuration of miniature starlings and scattering on the ground under a lime tree. The wheat berries pattered back into the basket. I shook the basket from side to side to order the contents in the right ovoid formation, stooped slightly and tossed again. I thought of Patrick Kavanagh, one of my favourite poets, "Ordinary Things Wear Lovely Things," he wrote. I became attuned to the minutest whims of the early autumn winds. From our kitchen, I watched the branches of a downy birch tree and knew my winnowing moment had come. Soon after that, I learned to interpret the different shapes the airborne chaff made, the curls, twirls, wreaths and scarves of yellow and gold. I also loved how I became gilded in chaff from cap to boot. Back in the house, I left a trail of coppery dust from room to room, like breadcrumbs through the forest in the fairy tale of Hansel and Gretel. I also loved the soundtrack of winnowing, particularly the hiss of grain in the basket when I was panning from side to side. It was like a jazz drum loop played with brushes.
I really hope you've enjoyed listening to this. If the idea of prescribing baking as lifestyle medicine as an evidence-based approach to your patients to help them improve their physical and mental health through the bread that they bake, eat and share every day appeals to you, then go to thesourdoughschool.com and learn how you can prescribe or teach this as part of your own practice. If you have just fallen in love with the whole concept and you just want to learn to do this for yourself and your family, you can self-prescribe at thesourdoughclub.com. I look forward to seeing you in some of our live sessions.